We've been talking about prayer, and boy, has it been funny. Past couple weeks, next, she cracked me up. I had someone say to me the first week that they weren't really into prayer, so that they were praying that the series would be shorter. And then I had someone come at me this week because I made a joke about the hedge of protection, praying for a hedge of protection. And they were like, what are you talking about? I pray for that all the time. I'm like, well, could you at least tell me why we don't pray for a wall of protection then? Because a hedge, I don't know, but you can get through a hedge. So if you're going to pray for protection for me, I want a brick wall, you know, that sort of thing. So I've heard some funny comments about that, and we're going to get into my personal prayer routine this morning. That's what you have in front of you. And I want to take you through that because, if I'm going to do a series on prayer, I might as well take you through what I do sometimes, regularly. Sometimes I miss, but that's what we're going to talk about this morning, and I'm excited because this morning we also have two original songs coming up in our service, one by Dave, one by John Benjamin's original song, and I think they tie in with what we're talking about this morning. So I'm excited about that, but I have to start by telling you about my grandpa pools. I am a hiker. I love hiking, but I've realized as I age, I got bad knees. Boy, do I have bad knees, just aching all the time. And so last year, I was hiking up Tunnel Mountain. That was fine, going up Tunnel Mountain out in Banff there. But coming down, I was just aching. And so I said to Kristen, I need some tools to help me. And so we went and we bought these poles. And boy, are they good. They just really help when you're hiking. I can't recommend hiking poles enough. Mind you, my kids make fun of me incessantly. I always thought that was coming when they were teenagers, but they've started in early, and every time they see these, like, hey, Grandpa, hey. And then when we're out hiking, they're always counting the people that go by that also have hiking poles. They're like, that guy's got to be 80, Dad. Look at him. But, hey, they help my hiking poles. And the thing that I've learned about any sort of hobby is this. Once you start to take things seriously, hiking, biking, whatever it is your hobby, what you quickly realize is that you need tools. Tools help you get the job done. For me, it's my hiking poles. And I think this applies equally to prayer. Prayer for me is hard. It doesn't come easy. And what I realized a while back is that I require support. Can't do it on my own. I need help, and so I use tools. In fact, Justin McRoberts likens prayer to the exercise of opening a tuna can. Got a tuna can here. I'm not going to open it because tuna really stinks. But if you've ever tried to open a tuna can, our can opener broke a while back. And I had to go at it with a knife one time. It was my lunch. By the way, I asked you guys in the weekly, how much mayo is too much? 2 tablespoons, is that about right? For more? Okay, that's good to know, because my family thinks I go a little heavy on the mayo. But I tried to get in with a knife one time. It was impossible. To get inside a tuna can, you need the right tools. You need a can opener. And this is how Justin McRoberts speaks about prayer. He says that inside of us is an ever-present interior conversation with the divine. That's always happening inside of us. A conversation with the divine. And that's trying to get there, though, is like opening a tuna can. If you don't have the right tools, it won't come easily. It's about trying to get to that place where we're in touch with that ever-present interior conversation with the divine. But we need a tool to do that. We need tools. And so, I want to start before I get into what I actually do with my prayer. What's my can opener, so to speak? Well, I like to engage the senses. I'm a sensual man, you know? I really like to engage the senses in my prayer routine. And so, I like to, all 5 senses. So, the things I see. So, I've got, you know, a bunch of art in my place. But this is also my little prayer container. I keep things inside of it. But this is Rublev's famous icon, the Trinity, and so I like to have that in front of me. I got the Laughing Cavalier in front of me because I like to think about God as kind of just smiling, winking at me. And I've got the peace that Nexus graciously got for me, John Bramblett's wine photo painting in front of me. And so I'd like to surround myself with visuals, of course. And then in terms of what I hear, oftentimes what I'm looking for is silence, but sometimes that doesn't work. So I like to put on New Age flute music if silence isn't working. And I got a big thing about this because I like my prayer like I like my massages. I had to let go my massage therapist. Well, I just stopped showing up. I didn't let her go. But I showed up for my massage, and she was playing Today's Greatest Hits on acoustic guitar. That was the playlist. And I was like, this is awful, because the whole time I'm kind of humming along to these tunes in my head. And all I want when I go for a massage is, like, I want to feel like I'm in Rivendell. And so I like New Age flute music to just bring me to Rivendell, a place of peace. That's where I like to be. And I like prayer the same way. I like silence, but if I'm going to have music in the background, kind of doo-doo-doo, you know, kind of fluty, just bring some peace kind of music. I like to put on my incense as well. Light the incense, smell, engaging smell. As I see the smoke rise up, like my prayers, I like to get all, you know, sensual that way. Then I got my prayer beads. Not necessarily, I don't do any of the actual prayers, but I'm a fidgety guy. So I just like something in my hands moving through them. And so that is essentially what I do to sort of create the right atmosphere. And then there's, of course, words. And, you know, for years, I had grown up in a tradition where you had to come up with your own words. And one of the traditions, one of the prayer routines I was taught was Acts, right? You got to start by adoring God, then confess, then thank Him, then supplication, ask for stuff. But what I found is that trying to adore God every day gets a little, well, difficult. Have you ever written a love letter to your partner every day? You run out of original things to say. And so it became very difficult for me. And so I've come to see that the words of others help me get in touch with what my own soul is doing and where words fail me, language fail me. Scott Erickson writes this, words and images are vital tools that can help us grow in this endless and ongoing conversation of prayer. But we must understand that the words and images we use are not the content itself. They're the excavation tools that help dig toward and into the real content, the ongoing, ever-present conversation between us and the divine. And so I'm always changing up. This will be different probably 3 months from now. I'm always changing it, but I've, over the years, developed my own liturgy, you could say. And however we create it, whatever that looks like for you, you might have this in front of you and be like, this doesn't work at all for me. Fair enough. Some sort of liturgy designed to bring us into the presence of God. It's designed, you could say, to bring us into the holies of holies. And once there, sort of do your thing. Once you're in the tuna can, okay, well, now it's time to riff on your own. And a lot of the prayers that you will read and what I've handed you there, they're actually from the Book of Common Prayer. And this is because I just want to tap into my tradition. I want to tap into something like an artifact, something sacred, something old. The Book of Common Prayer was created in 1549. It's been updated many times. It's almost 500 years old, and there's something about that. It's like touching an artifact in its natural habitat. This picture here is me holding, holding the largest artifact I've ever found in the wild. And before I talk about that, though, you might notice I have a very gross mustache there. Yeah. I went on a trip with my brothers, and we like when we look funny. And so the agreement was that all of us would grow a gross mustache. And so I grew this one, and my brothers are mean to me because I was the last one to get picked up before we went to the airport, and they picked me up, and none of them had shaved. All of them had beards, and so I was just on my own with this mustache the whole week on my own. The same thing happened this summer. All my brothers, we were going out to Nova Scotia together. We had an agreement that all of us were going to get an old pair of jeans and make cut-off jean shorts and a prize to the person who had the shortest. And so I got an old pair, and I cut it right down. It was borderline indecent. And I showed up on the beach the first day, and none of them did it. So there I am in my cut-off jean shorts on my own. But this experience here, hiking way out in the middle of Utah, and in my hand there, you can see the oldest artifact, the largest artifact I've ever picked up. And for anyone who hasn't dealt with artifacts, I can't quite adequately describe to you the magic and joy of holding something that's like 1,000 years old in your hands in the place it was left. And so often when we go to museums, we see artifacts, but they're sterile and cold, right? They've been taken out of their environment where they've been left. And sometimes I think we can come at things like the Book of Common Prayer the same way. We look at it like, oh, this seems a little stodgy. But where it was designed to be used is in prayer itself. And when we come in contact with that, there's something magical about being in touch with something ancient, something old. It's like being in touch with the old paths, the old roads. And you know I'm big on path imagery here. And there's something to me that just feels right about connecting with something ancient. And I'm going to ask Dave to come and do his song, Old Roads, right now. And Dave has his own CD out. This was early 90s. It's called early 2000s. Sorry. Found Wanting, and this is one of my favorite songs from the record, and I'm not sure exactly what Dave was getting at as an artist. I think he's talking about nostalgia of childhood and you know, connecting with places that mean something to us, but to me this week, the song took on a different dimension. For me, it was about the magic of connecting with a tradition that's thousands of years old, and we get to be a part of it. And so this is Old Roads by Dave. Dave, that's such a beautiful song. Thank you for sharing that with us. And I just love that imagery of putting myself in the river on the old roads. They go where they always go. And, you know, in a community like this, and even for myself, there can be a place where you fight so much with your own tradition, fight so much with your own history. And there's something about coming to the place where you're like, you know, this is home. I might have some questions and doubts about it, but this is my tradition. And for thousands of years, it's helpful to remind ourselves that our doubts, our questions are not new. They've been around, and we take our place in a tradition, and that's all that I'm trying to do in the morning. So the first three prayers are straight out of the Book of Common Prayer. I begin my mornings this way. Eternal God, creator of heaven and earth, God of Sarah, Rebecca, Leah, and Rachel, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, God of Israel, God and Father of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, true and living God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, have mercy and hear our prayer. And for me, this beginning is simply about making my prayer specific. Who am I talking to? I got a bit of a bee in my bonnet about praying to the universe. I don't pray to the universe. And so I start by addressing very early the one whom I believe is responsible for this existing instead of nothing existing. And then I just get more specific. I move to get more specific, to root myself in my tradition, God of our matriarchs, God of the patriarchs. And I want to stress something about this. This is not to say that other prayer traditions are wrong. This is not a knock on Hinduism, Islam, none of that. This is not about that at all. It's simply about rooting myself in a tradition, acknowledging that this is, for good or ill, my spiritual home. So I'm simply acknowledging the one to whom I'm praying. And then I move into prayer for grace. Creator and sustainer of all life, you have brought us in safety to this new day. Preserve us with your mighty power that we may not fall into sin nor be overcome by adversity. And all we do, direct us to the fulfilling of your purpose through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And I got to be honest with you, that second line hits me every single day. You've brought us in safety to this new day. Every morning, it catches me. And a lot of the prayers that I go through, there's a lot of dry lines, I'll be honest, that I just go through rotely. Just blah, 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 blah. But that line, it always catches me, because when I don't have my prayer routine, my prayer liturgy, my mornings tend to look frantic, and I'm checking the news and social media, and I'm annoyed about this, I'm annoyed about that, the weather looks bad. But that line, you've brought us in safety to this new day, what a gift. And I talked about this 2 weeks ago, prayer as a way to develop doxological gratitude. And I move my own prayers around a lot, but I will never move this prayer from being second there, because I love the way it starts my day. A refresher You've been brought safely into a new day. And then I go into a prayer of thanksgiving because I just want to start my day with gratitude. God of steadfast love, author of all mercies, we give you humble thanks for all your goodness and loving kindness to us and all whom you have made. We bless you for our creation, preservation, all the blessings of this life, but above all for your measurable love and the redemption of the world by our Lord Jesus Christ, for the means of grace and for the hope of glory. And we pray, give us such an awareness of your mercies that with truly thankful hearts we may show forth praise, not only with our lips but with our lives, by giving ourselves to your service, by walking before you in holiness and righteousness all our days through Jesus Christ our Lord, to whom, with you and the Holy Spirit, be honor and glory throughout all ages. Amen. Here's the thing, I don't have the energy or the creativity to drum up my own thanksgiving every day. So what do? I simply join the tradition, the chorus of voices that for hundreds, thousands of years have just offered prayer of thanksgiving. So I don't need to drum it up myself. I just take my place. In spontaneous prayer, for me, it's just too hard to find something to be thankful for every day. It's exhausting. So I'm just adding my voice to the chorus here. And again, I'm trying to cultivate my own formation. I want to start every single day, every morning, with a posture of gratitude. Because here's the thing I so easily forget. Brian Zahn really captured this well. He says this, my own existence is a staggering phenomenon. I exist. How amazing is that? I'm not obligated to be. The world would turn around without me. The sun would rise and set. The tides would ebb and flow. The seasons would continue their cycles without my appreciation of them. But I do exist. I am aware. And I'm aware that I'm aware. I belong to the only race of animate beings in this world who can look upon the mountains and know they are beautiful. I'm aware of my own existence and the possibilities it affords. I'm passionate about life. And Brian Zahn said this when somebody asked him the question, how do you maintain your passion for Jesus? And he said, I don't maintain my passion for Jesus. That's like a fool's errand, trying to always be hyped up about Jesus. And what he said was this, I'm passionate about life. And prayer helps me with that. Be passionate with life. Wake up every single day and be like, wow, another day. Another day, and what a gift it is. And we can talk all we want about how prayer changes or doesn't change us, but I will guarantee you this. You start every day with a posture of gratitude. It will change the nature of your day. And I happened to be talking last week, I think it was, with John Benjamin's here, and he mentioned to me that he had created his own song about joy and about this experience of finding joy and gratitude morning, afternoon, evening. And I said, well, you got to share it with us. And John is such a gift to our community with his voice, his music, and I think it's just an absolutely amazing thing when, as a community, we can celebrate our own artists. And so, John, take it away. This is your brand new song called Joy, I believe. Just beautiful. Thanks, John. What talent we have here. That was wonderful. Thank you for sharing that. And I love that experience of finding joy and how do we cultivate that. That is all that I'm trying to do with going through these rote prayers, is just start opening myself up to gratitude, to joy. And then I move into, of course, Lord Jesus Christ, and God have mercy on me. And I make the sign of the cross because I want to involve my body. I don't think of it a Catholic thing, an Orthodox thing. From what I'm told, from what I've learned, it dates back to the first century. The Christians would do this because they wanted their lives to be defined by the cross. And so I make that. And I think some people, when we read this Jesus prayer, have mercy on me, it's like, well, oh, do we have to convince God to have mercy on us? No. Not at all. It can be triggering to some, but I feel like it's you know, a reminder for some of us, perhaps, of a shame-based faith. But we must remember, praying the Jesus Prayer, we're not trying to coax something out of God that isn't already available to us. We're opening ourselves up to God's grace, which is always present and available. We're simply reminding ourselves. I'm simply reminding myself. In the morning, I do this prayer four times. Grace is always there. It's grace. It's there all the time. All the time. And then I transition from there. That's the first section of my morning prayers. Here's the thing. Again, I would say this. We all have morning liturgies, whether you know it or not. And mine used to be get up, bathroom, shower, social media, and I wondered why I was miserable all the time. Or watching the news, catching up on everything that's wrong in the world. And I know we struggle with how prayer works, but I'm convinced of this. If you try this, something like this, make it your own. We're shaped by our morning liturgies, and they shape the way we approach our day. And you can take out all the big questions about prayer for a moment, but I don't think you can find other prayers this way. I don't think you can find a better way to start your day than with gratitude. And then I move into the psalm of the day. I took this out for a while because it was driving me nuts, but I put it back in. I missed it. I go through Psalm. I just start at Psalm 1, next day Psalm 2, next day Psalm 3, and I just read them through. And again, it's about tying myself to the tradition. For thousands of years, they've been sung. And so I return to them, and they're a challenge for me. But what I'm trying to do is simply learn from them, feel what they express, because the Psalms, what they do is they give us permission to bring the whole expression of humanity to God. In them, you're going to find rage, joy, frustration, love. And for me, the Psalms help me understand and give me permission to bring whatever emotions I'm experiencing to God. It's all okay, even the darkest, darkest thoughts of rage and hate, to the most worshipful joy, whatever. It's all good. And when I'm alone, I'm not very good, but I try to chant them. I'll do a little chant later. I try to chant them because they were sung. So I try to do like a Gregorian chant sort of thing with them. Just, it brings a different flavor to it, right? Like there's words and reading and then there's singing. It's poetry. It brings an artistry that isn't there. But of course, I never go anywhere in the Old Testament without Jesus as my sponsor, my chaperone. I'm a Gentile, so I don't go there without Jesus. So I'll often encounter language like I want to kill my enemies. And I'm like, whew, that's a little something. But I simply go through them in an allegorical way, which is something that's strange, I think, to many of us. We didn't grow up with Scripture as allegory. But for me, when I'm praying, curse my enemies, it's usually stupid things I do myself, my own vices, whatever. So call down hate upon my own vices. And then I move into a gospel reading. Again, I just go through the gospel, Matthew. Well, I skip, the birth parts bore me. So unless it's Advent, I skip those areas there. So I just go through one chapter a day. And you've probably been wondering, I've waited to the third week, why are we opening our services with a gospel reading? Well, I've been trying to insert just a little what I'm doing in my prayer routine myself, because for 1,500 years, it's only the past 500 years that people have had Bibles, they could read it for themselves. For the first 1,500 years of Christianity, people simply had the stories read to them, and it just fell on them like it did us this morning, right? Like, you get that, that parable this morning, it's like, whoa, that's a little heavy, I don't know what to make of that. And I would say my goal with reading a gospel story every morning, it's simply to fall into the story. I don't try to analyze it. I don't try to explain it. I don't try to figure out what's going on. I like to think of it like the Chronicles of Narnia. Chronicles of Narnia, right? They get into the wardrobe. They just kind of stumble into a new world. Or my favorite image, the Voyage of the Dawn Treader. They're looking at a painting and they just fall into it, right? And that's all that I'm trying to do, is just fall in, put a painting of gospel reading in my head, and 90% of the time I'm confused. I'm like, what is going on there? I don't worry about it. It's just part of the experience. Again, I'm trying to foster an imagination, a formation. So I just fall into it, and then I go right into the Lord's Prayer simply because it's the prayer Jesus gave us. It's the perfect prayer, so I say it. Just go through it. And then I go, right before I get into my own sort of tuna can time, I do Psalm 91, 1 to 2. I'll do the chant. This is what it sounds like. Whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High, will rest in the shadow of the Almighty, I will say of the Lord, you are my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Just a little something sing-songy. It's just different. And now, the tuna can's open. I've come into the Holy of Holies. My mind's ready. I'm prepared. I've said the words. I've got myself into a rhythm. And the first thing I do is pray for my family because, well, they're my family and I like them more than other people. So I'm just going to deal with that right off the hop. They get a little extra special time. And this is where I think questions of prayer, well, what do you do when you pray for your family? Well, last week we talked about prayers bringing heart and mind to God. It's a long, loving look at the real. And so What do I do? How do I pray for my family? Well, it's just doing that, a long, loving look at the real. And so I'll start with Kristen. And, you know, this week, she's telling me she got a lot of projects on. Orange Shirt Day, Remembrance Day coming up, feels busy at work. And so all I'm doing is I'm bringing that to God. How can I be attentive to that? Because my propensity is to just be like, yeah, work stories. It's true. See, I'm a petty person. And so I'm simply trying to form it. Okay, how can I be attentive to that? What could I do? Can I be of aid there? Or with my kids, I'm just trying to pay attention. Like Evie, she really has been really cuddly lately. I'm like, what is that about, God? I wonder. I wonder if she's a little insecure with school year starting. Maybe I need to pay attention to that. Or Huxley will try to wrestle in the morning and ignore him. Okay, there's something there that maybe he needs, so I want to pay attention to that. Zoe's got all these questions. All I'm trying to do is bring my family as they are before God, heart and mind, long loving look at the real, and just trying to make myself attentive to that for my day. All right, when they get home from school, that's all I'm trying to do. And then, yes, I'll do things like, this is for grace, I do pray for a hedge of protection around them, not a wall. Put a hedge, you know, I don't want them to be anxious at school, so I'll ask for those things. I'm just bringing heart and mind to God. I pray for family, then I come out by doing the Beatitudes, and I do the Beatitudes for a specific reason, because I want to recover myself, because it's easy in prayer to get lost in my family, my needs, and it's all about me, and I don't want it to be about that, so I go through the Beatitudes. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, they'll inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for justice, for they'll be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they'll be called children of God. And blessed are those who are persecuted for the sake of justice, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And all I'm trying to do here is reorient myself. Pull myself out of me, remind myself of the values of Jesus' kingdom, and then I go into prayers of petition and intercession. Sorry, I added in a little Jesus right there. But then, God of mercy and healing, you who hear the cries of those in need, receive the petitions of your people, that all who are troubled may know peace, comfort, and courage. And then I pray for the world. Briefly. But I want to, again, as I mentioned the first week, I want to be in a place of solidarity. And so I pray every day for Ukraine. This weekend, I'm praying for the Maritime Provinces. There's nothing I can do to change what damage has been done, but it's simply a reminding of myself. It's pulling me out of myself so that it's not all about me and my little troubles. There are people who are suffering, and I want to keep them in my mind. And then I pray for others. Whatever comes to mind, but I will say, every day I do my prayers, I pray for the Nexus community in general, but it's the single greatest source of emails that come out of this. Because I'll be praying, somebody will come to mind, got to email them, got to check in. That's all I'm doing, is trying to just, this community, those around me, just pray for that. Then I pray for myself, I'll deal with that another week. But I like to always start that prayer with faithful midwife and artist of souls, because what I want to keep reminding myself is that God is a midwife and is birthing something in me. God is a sculptor and is sculpting me. So get through there, and then I come to, this is it, Holy of Holies, contemplation, time in silence with Jesus. And Mark Thibodeau, he's the author of The Armchair Mystic, he said there's four types of prayer. There's talking at God, talking to God, listening to God, and then silence with God. And that's all I'm trying to get to. And this, to me, is where the war happens. Because you're just sitting there in silence. I just want to be long, loving, look at the real. Imagine Jesus there at my side, and everything screams at me about what I should be doing. Get going, get to work, check the news, it's just a war. And I just push back. Nope. Just some time in silence, contemplation. All of that can wait. Just want to start my day. I'm just going to, and it's a war. And sometimes I lose in 30 seconds, and sometimes it's a little longer than that. But once I've been there, then it's about getting me out into my day. Do the prayer of St. Francis every day. Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there's hatred, let me sow love. where there's injury, pardon, where there's doubt, faith, where there's despair, hope, where there's darkness, light, where there's sadness, joy. O divine master, grant that I may not so much seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it is in giving that we receive, it is in pardoning that we are pardoned, it's in dying that we're born to eternal life. Amen. And then my final prayer, beginning of the day. O God, I find myself at the beginning of another day. I don't know what it will bring. Please help me be ready for whatever it may be. And this to me is all about grounding myself in presence and place, which is a value, a practice of ours here. I pray just for today, for these 24 hours, for the ability to cooperate with others according to the way Jesus taught us to live. Free my thinking and feelings from all forms of self-will, self-centeredness, dishonesty, and deception. I need this freedom to make my choices today according to your desires. Send your spirit to inspire me in time of doubt and indecision so that together we can walk along your path, which is all I want to do. I just want to walk the Jesus path through my day. And then a little Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me. Done. Four things as a conclusion. I'm going to get to the evening prayer. That's a whole other thing. But first is this. Primary purpose of prayer is not to be entertained. Prayer is not the spiritual equivalent of a day at Canada's Wonderland. You're praying, I feel great. That's not the purpose of prayer. It's a struggle. It's boring. Fair enough. The purpose isn't entertainment, it's formation. But after a while, this is my own experience, you start to crave it. Ooh, I miss my morning prayers, and boy, am I off to a rough start today. Course correct. Second, I know if you're like me, the idea of praying other people's prayers might seem inauthentic or something, but we need the prayers of those who are wiser than us. We need prayers that have stood the test of time. Test of time by the church. Third, this is important. I've been able to shed this. For some, maybe you haven't, but prayer is never to be a source of guilt. I don't feel guilty when I miss prayer. Don't let it be a source of guilt. You're not getting merit for it, right? It's not like God's like, oh, I missed their morning prayers. You know, so often, I don't know if you have this experience, I'm sure you all do, you get a text from a friend, and then life happens, and 3 days later, you're like, oh, I haven't answered. And you realize that on the other end is probably someone who's annoyed. Oh, boy. Where's Brad? I know he's around. He only works Sundays. What's going on? Why aren't you texting me? We know that. We know our friends are out there. But God ain't your friend. Not in that way. And God isn't sitting there going, you ignored me again. Because prayer formation is about us and who we are becoming. So we don't need to think, we're not stroking God's ego or placating an emotionally needy God by praying. That's just not what we're doing. And so you don't need to feel guilty. And then finally, I want to say this. I feel like I've been wearing my underwear in front of you this morning. It's a little weird bringing you into my own prayer routine here. But I want to invite you to join along with me. And you might have your own prayer routine. You might have none, whatever. I just want to ask you, invite you, come along with me. Do it yourself. See what happens. And I'll get to the practicalities. I can get through this thing in 10 minutes. Especially if you got one of those days where it ain't happening. I'll skip the psalm. I'm just got to get through it. Max 30 minutes. But what I've realized is this. I just got my notification this morning. Have you ever got on your phone? This is how much time you spent on your phone this week. An average of 5.5 hours. I'm like, oh my God. That's a lot of time on my phone. It's not that we don't have time. We do. 10 minutes. 30 max. And then two things about it. Don't evaluate it. Not till the new year. At least. Wait till after Christmas. It'll feel boring. Is this a little stodgy? I just want to invite you. Try it. Don't evaluate it. Don't get done and be like, did that do anything? Just do. It's kind of like hiking. Back to my hiking illustration. I got new hiking boots. And I put them on, and boy, did it hurt. hiking in that, because what's the thing with hiking boots? You got to wear them in, right? You got to get them to a place. This is going to feel at first like, stiff new hiking boots. But if you give it some time, the prayers will become yours. They'll feel like your own. And so again, I never, ever, ever want to push anything I do on anyone. So if you got your own thing going, great. If you're here and you're like, no, that's fine. I won't be offended. Just put it in the recycle bin, you know, your little whatever you need to do. Or leave it here. Someone else might grab it. But that's all that I'm trying to do is listen. There's some ways to pray. This has worked for me. I want to invite you into that. So I'm going to ask Dave and John if they come again. And I think we're going to do Be Thou My Vision again. And then I've got a little something to say with Judy at the end. But that's what I do. If you want, invite you in. If not, fair enough. We'll get at some other prayer things later. But for those of you who are praying for the prayer series to be done, we will be getting to another series shortly that I'm very excited about. It's very personal, so hang with us. But for that, for resources, there you go. I'm going to hand it over to Dave and John.